We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, I'm gonna get a few more text messages because I got to. I can't leave some of y'all hanging because the texting just went explosive. I mean, this is like a viral moment, I guess. And John M. from Huntsville says, my favorite part of a colonoscopy, the very first entry photo when I text it to my adult sons and them reaching maximum gross out. Oh, no. Jeremy from Madison says, why was Piglet playing in the toilet? He was looking for poo. Yeah, Jeremy, thank you very much. Tom from Huntsville, about to get my PSA exam soon. Good, get her done, man. Danny from Penhook says, maybe the people who check Cologuard boxes are called analysts? Oh, my gosh. You may have just won the text lines today, Danny. Bob from Madison says, first time texter, I lost count at 15 colonoscopies. First one at 45, and now I'm 75. Good message. Thanks, Bob. And good for you, man. Do all the things. Jerry from Decatur says, my first one was at Decatur General. The nurse was absolutely the prettiest woman I've ever seen in my life, and I was so scared something would go airborne. John, the Navy Corpsman, says, very relatable to a seagoing sailor. Yes, I see. Yes, he sends me a meme. Chris from Newmarket says, I'm installing a new pool motor for a customer. I was laughing so much they came out and checked on me. Just tell them you're listening to the Prince of Pooh, Chris. It's all good. Jeff from Athens. Hey, Phil, my wife has a consult next Tuesday to schedule her first ever colonoscopy. She's had some issues, so we're somewhat apprehensive. However, if an issue is detected that could be corrected and may extend her days on Earth, what a blessing. The thought of spending whatever days I have. Yep, I get it. Yep, Jeff, you go get her done, man. You tell her to do all the things. Bruce from Springville. Gastroenterologists are some of the highest paid plumbers in the world. They have fast in and out service and they don't even know it. Okay, you guys are an awesome audience. Listen, I will report back, but the bottom line is it's what you do, man. It is what you do. All right, let's jump on into the actual material that that the show is. So let's switch gears completely, all right? You're welcome to text in about Prince of Pooh and colonoscopies all you want to. I'll take them all show long. But I will just say this. Election integrity is a big deal, a huge deal. It's worth talking about. And we have already covered this multiple times. You think, Phil, I mean, how much more can we say about election integrity? We want it. We do. And not everybody has it. So, by the way, don't forget, you may be just, what are we, 80? I think I said 75 yesterday, but the reality, I think when you count, we're actually 82 days away, I think, from maybe 83 from Election Day. Tuesday, November 5th. Great. Except that it's actually a few weeks, just a few weeks before early voting starts in most places. So think about it. Election integrity, if there's anything to be done yet, something left that's, you know, unfinished or unprotected, that we don't have any time left to work with it. September 6th is when the first early voting starts in some states. Seven battleground states are already sending out ballots to at least some voters. It marks the next few months, according to this article that I pulled off of Fox. Marks the next few months as being less of a countdown to election day, more the beginning of the election season. And that's the truth. So election integrity is not that thing we better have in place, you know, 2.5 months from now. Election integrity, it better be in place like, I don't know, next week, because it's coming, y'all. It is coming. I mean, early voting is a thing in some ways. It's been around for years, absentee ballots, military ballots. But in 2020 especially, there were a bunch of states that went hog wild and just opened up Pandora's box and started mailing out ballots because everybody's scared of COVID. And I get it. It was a scary time. But man, they just went overboard. And the funny thing is, COVID is not the issue now, but somehow or another, the rules never got changed back. So Fox News voter analysis says that 71% of voters cast their ballots before Election Day. Can you imagine? 71% of all votes cast were cast before Election Day. 30% of those were in person. 41% of those were by voting by mail. Early voting, it says, remained popular in the midterms even. So 2022. 2020, it all began to change. 2022, it was still going on. In 2022, 57% of voters were casting their ballots before Election Day. So the 71% was in 2020. But 2 years later, we were still doing it, 57%. That's a huge, huge, huge amount of people. It says in 14 states, voters must have an excuse to vote by mail. And I'm glad. Things like illness or age or work hours if you're not home, but you got to kind of justify yourself. But yeah, it starts in North Carolina, September 6th. In September alone, we got North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin that are all starting early. Oh, I take it back. Georgia, Wisconsin, and then September 20th, it kicks in with a bunch of them. Arkansas, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, Utah, Wyoming, Minnesota, Virginia. I mean, in Virginia, they're letting early in-person voting start on September 20th. That's amazing to me. I mean, so you can go to the polls starting like 3 weeks early. The crazy thing is, I'm going to bet you Virginia won't have them tallied up by that night. It's just, I mean, listen, here's the deal. If you, I got the whole list of all the states, but if you or your friends are concerned at all about whether you're going to be here on Election Day, go vote now. Not now, but go vote when it starts. Find the means to do so. And don't think for a second that Election Day won't have problems, which is why at this point we have to use the systems that are in place for us. But I'll tell you this, I've got concerns. I got concerns. There's a story here on Daily Caller. Came out 2 days ago. It says hackers from the annual DEF CON conference called Voting Village found some glaring insecurities with voting machines in the U.S. In other words, they did a test run. These hackers, these white hat hackers, they determined to see what they could figure out, and they got access to a voting machine, and they found some glaring problems, they said. They got multiple pages of vulnerabilities, they say. They won't reveal what they were yet, but they've let it be known that nothing they found is fixable in the short term. Because they say it's not, here's the quote, it's not a 90-day fix. It's not a Microsoft every Tuesday issue your patch, everything works fine kind of fix. It's a pretty complicated process. They also point out that if they show the voting machine manufacturers the problem, the manufacturer has to agree to come up with a solution. The states then have to agree to receive the solution, and every voting machine then has to be manually corrected. It's not something that we're likely to see happen before the day comes that people are actually casting their ballots. So all this to say, they're announcing this, and the Republican National Committee has like leaned forward on this. I'll be honest, we're not sitting still. Don't think we are. We're not sitting still. But we can't control every state, and the Constitution says every state has a right to its own version of the laws for voting within certain parameters. I mean, by federal law, they have to meet a standard of deadline of a certain date. They have to meet age and requirements for access, and then requirements for the citizenship. But in the middle of all that, the Republican National Committee has still seen fit to go ahead and create an entire unit devoted to what it says combating shenanigans. In other words, there's going to be, and I can remember as the party chairman for my county being on a call in case there was an allegation of something going wrong at a local ballot box. That's just in my county. Can you imagine doing this on a national scale? But they have to. Two reasons. They have to do this for two reasons. One is they have to do it to try and address the issue in real time and see that a fix is being worked. And two, they have to document it in case there is a legitimate ground for legal challenge to the election processes later. If you don't know about it, if you don't have people working the issue, then you're scrambling to try and figure out what happened after the fact. But the piece I've got here from Daily Caller makes a great point. The article was written by Politico. Not known for being, the Daily Caller article cites Politico is what I'm saying. Politico not known for being a bastion of conservatism, right? Politico is doing this, in their opinion, because it's meant to demoralize. That's what the author says. It's meant to demoralize. And I understand what he's saying. What he's saying is they're trying to convince you that, you know, it's a little scary out there. You might just want to save your energy and stay home, you know, which couldn't be further from the actual truth of what needs to take place. Here's the line they use at the end of the story. And I'll just quote because it's so well written. It says, "We must overwhelm the systems designed against this purpose and force it to collapse under the weight of our voices." Meaning, we can't control whether or not everything's going to be perfect on election day, or for that matter, with the election processes, you know, that start early. We can do all that we can. In a little while, we're going to have Secretary of State Wes Allen on talking about some of what he's got going on. We can work the issue as detailed as possible. We will not necessarily be able to track down every allegation or every concern, which is all the more reason for us to go to the polls. Because if what they're trying to do is demoralize, and if what they're trying to do is cheat, then the last thing you need to do is just make it easy for them by staying home. The point being is you get out there and exercise the vote. All right, we're going to take a break right now. Big Rig, move us to the break, brother. We'll come back from that. I'm going to keep this thing going. We got things happening in Pennsylvania. We got things happening in Alaska. We got things happening in Georgia. And then we're going to talk about Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. So just so you know, Pennsylvania still got problems. We still got them here. Don't think that we're just like absolutely perfect, because we did catch a guy most recently in Alabama. A guy was actually indicted on multiple counts of voter fraud for filling out absentee ballots in his own name. Yeah. Running for county commission, if I recall. Not no mo. But in Pennsylvania, they just got somebody again. So Pennsylvania, the Federalist has a piece that came out 2 days ago. Montgomery County, Pennsylvania man has been charged with election fraud. One man, multiple votes. But local media wants you to know that the election fraud is relatively rare. Don't minimize it. Don't minimize it. It's real. Just go ahead and say, yeah, well, it may not happen often, but dang. That means, but no, that, well, and what is apparently a very rare occurrence? It's like, okay. Says Philip Pulley of Huntington Valley was charged with falsely registering to vote, double voting, and election fraud, says U.S. Attorney Jacqueline Romero. The Department of Justice accused Pulley of registering to vote in three counties using a false home address and a fake Social Security number. He's accused of requesting a mail-in ballot to vote in Philadelphia County while also voting in Montgomery and Broward counties. I mean, this is just unreal. By the way, it happens, and I also look at it and think, how desperate do you have to be willing to fake your registration in three places to run around and maybe get an extra vote on the ballot? I understand that sometimes a single vote does matter. It really does. But dang, man. It says, but legacy media assures the readers this kind of thing almost never happens. But they point out in the article, well done, that yes, cheating is rare, but so are tornadoes, and people worry when they hear they're coming. So we shouldn't just blow them off, and we shouldn't blow off evidence of how easy it was for someone to fake their way into multiple votes. That's the point, is don't blow this off. This is real. And that's why we got to have people that care. And what I do notice is the Pennsylvania, the Secretary of State's office is not that game on with it. And this is a swing state. I mean, they actually, in 2018, it says the Pennsylvania Department of State issued guidance that removed safeguards that would have prevented one person from being able to register multiple times. They removed guidance. In other words, they made it easier. And oh boy, did it. Because they made it easier. And I don't know that he wouldn't have done it anyway, but I do know this, they made it easier. The Department of State actually directed counties not to reject anyone's voter registration based solely on a non-match between the driver's license number or Social Security number on register. In other words, if somebody shows you an ID and says, "Hi, my name is Habib," and you look at him and go, "You're a pasty white guy from South Alabama. How could your name be Habib?" Well, it just is. It says here, though, your name is John. I don't know how to answer that question. Okay, we'll register you to vote anyway. And they just do. In Pennsylvania, apparently, that's the way they handle things. All said and done, we shouldn't be making it easy. There will always be bad actors. There will always be glitches in the system and gremlins in the voting machines. I get it. There will always be that moment when the absentee ballots got corrupted somehow. But I'm not so sure it's as rare as they make it out to be. In Alaska, Phil, no one's going to win the race because of Alaska. Don't say that. Go figure. But what if Alaskans in 2016 voted in favor of an automatic voter registration? Alaska's got some weird laws, by the way. Automatic voter registration. It's going to be awesome. They have a thing there called the permanent fund dividend. If you live in Alaska, if you're a native, if you're a resident of Alaska, you take part in some of the revenues that are earned from their oil and gas. Basically, it's mailbox money, and that's kind of cool. But as soon as you fill out the application to get some of the mailbox money in Alaska, you're automatically now given a voter registration form. It doesn't matter whether you qualify for the dividend that you just signed up for. What matters is all you did was fill out a form. And so the Division of Alaska Elections has discovered this loophole that allows illegals and other non-residents to be able to vote in Alaska by simply filling out a form for the permanent fund dividend, and they still haven't fixed it. Why? Why would you not require proof of citizenship? And why would you not say voter registration only upon proof of actual citizenship and approval for the permanent fund dividend? In other words, it says those who come to Alaska legally or illegally, even people from other states, can use an Alaska address, apply for the dividend, get the voter ID card, and then they're just trusted at that point. Listen, even right next door in Georgia, our purple state partner to the right of us, Secretary of State Raffensperger, he's out there doing the thing. He needs to. He got a bit of a checkered history from 2020. But he's out there conducting what he calls his second round of health checks. He's going to all the counties in the state. Good for him. He says a top concern for voters this year is ensuring that not only American citizens are voting, according to Local 3 News in Georgia. He says they're checking voter registration lists to make sure they're accurate. He says, we think they are already. We think we're ready for it. Obviously, with cybersecurity and some of the physical threats we saw, and apparently they had fentanyl powder mailed to one of their voting offices or registrar's offices. I didn't know that. He said, we're doing all that we can. Okay. One of the hot button issues, and we're going to talk with Alabama's Secretary of State about this right after the top of the hour, but one of the hot button issues right now is the fact that we are seeing massive influxes of illegals. And what we're discovering, and what our own Secretary of State has testified to Congress about, he discovered that Medicaid, which is a state-run agency, but it receives federal dollars, was receiving guidance from D.C. that everybody who has Medicaid payments on their behalf had to have a voter registration form. Guess who gets covered by Medicaid at times? That's a public service. You wind up seeing illegals on Medicaid, or people who are non-residents, or people who don't otherwise qualify. And yet everybody, la-di-da-di, everybody was getting a voter registration. Well, up in Virginia, Governor Youngkin, they've already purged more than 6,000 non-citizens off their voter rolls. In Alabama, we got our own going on. Coming up next, Secretary of State Wes Allen. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the secret, safely ensconced bunker somewhere outside the Right Side studios. But we still got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. Yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on this Turbo Thursday. So we're going to go to the phones here. Coming on the line with us is Alabama's Secretary of State, Wes Allen. Secretary Allen's been on the show multiple times. You may recall that he was a probate judge down yonder in Pike County, which means that he was the senior election officer for his county. Then he served in the State House of Representatives. He is now the Secretary of State, which means he's the chief election officer for the entire state. Secretary Allen, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Senator. Thanks for having me on again today. I appreciate that.
No, absolutely. And listen, you've been making the rounds. I know you've been in D.C. You've been making the rounds on various news outlets here. I even saw you quoted or something in The Federalist, I believe. So you've been pretty much the town crier when it comes to election integrity lately.
Well, you know, Senator, I think you know me well enough to know that when we took the oath back in January of 2023 and we stepped off that platform and came to work, that we had a strategic effort to make sure that election integrity was a top priority. And I heard that all on the campaign trail. People were concerned, rightly concerned about it from what they saw back in 2020. And we wanted to make sure that the people of Alabama have the utmost confidence in our elections here in Alabama. Like, you know, for instance, we'll always have paper ballots. The tabulators that we use are not and cannot be connected to the internet. Those are two state laws now enshrined in our code. Over the last couple of years, we've got a prohibition on ballot harvesting as it pertains to absentee balloting. We, you know, obviously got photo identification, which is paramount. We need to make sure we keep that, and just those common sense things that we do to make sure that people have confidence. And one of those things is making sure that only American citizens vote in our elections. And
there you go.
Working extremely hard since day one, since we've been in office.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I've seen you in multiple news outlets on that topic, and the copy that I picked up is from Yellowhammer. But you've identified, first of all, early on, we had you on the show about this, you identified the means by which Medicaid, I believe it was making sure that people got voter registrations who may not even qualify, whether they asked for it or not. They were getting voter registration cards. And that being said, it creates a situation, even in Alabama, where I think we have some of the best election laws in the nation, it creates a situation where we could have people who are not otherwise qualified to vote signing up. And one of the big things has been, and we're seeing it around the nation, I know Virginia's dealing with it, is finding out that there are non-residents, even illegals, that are on our voting rolls. So what have you found so far on that here in Alabama?
So, yeah, we first set out on a course to engage with the federal government. Of course, you know, sometimes it's difficult getting anything out of the federal government, and that's what we ran into here. We tried our dead level best, and we still haven't quit, but we're still pushing. But up to this point, we've been denied by the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, Department of Homeland Security, an official list of all the legal non-citizens that are in our state, just to make sure that we could cross-check that data against our official voter file that's centralized and located here in the Secretary of State's office. Now, a legal non-citizen is given an alien identification number, a non-citizen ID number.
Right.
And so we knew that. That's what we wanted from the Department of Homeland Security. We didn't get it, but we were able to work with a couple of different agencies inside the state government. They've been wonderful to help us, and we've identified them and ascertained that information, that 3,251 individuals. And, you know, we pushed out that information to the local boards of registrars to immediately inactivate those individuals and then make sure they send a letter and say, you know, either self-remove if you are indeed a non-citizen, or number two, if you've become naturalized, update your voter registration with a current valid Alabama driver's license or the last four of your Social Security number.
Well, so I want to jump back and make sure that everybody heard you say that, because we've been pretty diligent in recent years. Your predecessor and you have both been diligent about making sure that our voter rolls are as secure and up to date and grounded as possible. And yet you still found 3,251 folks who were registered to vote in the state who were using non-citizen identification numbers. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's we started this from scratch. We're the first, or I'm the first Secretary of State in Alabama to ever embark on this endeavor. And, you know, voter file maintenance is basically the foundation for election integrity. And it's just like daily hygiene, Phil. I mean, it's like brushing your teeth. It's like taking a bath, washing your hair. You've got to constantly stay on top of it. This is not a one-time thing where we're just going to get this list and that's going to be it. We're going to continue to push the envelope as getting all the data that we can get. You know, it's not any simpler than that. I mean, we've exchanged data, just for instance, with like Tennessee, and found over 8,000 individuals that are double registered in Tennessee and also in Alabama. We've put them on the path of removal. And we found over 7,000 with our bilateral agreement with Mississippi. We put them on the path for removal. You know, of course, standing in the way is the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. Does not allow us to be able to remove someone in a speedy way if they've moved. It takes 4 years to remove someone if they've not passed away. So, you know, several hoops we have to jump through. We've got to make sure we comply with the federal law, but we need to reform that law. And that's what
we really do. Let me ask you, I know you were seeking help from DHS and others in the federal government, but were they giving you a reason why they wouldn't participate?
Yeah, we talked to them and they said, well, there's some privacy concerns and, you know, we feel like, you know, that those numbers don't need to be out, you know, all these sort of excuses and, of course, delay and distract. And we even talked to the White House and, of course, you know, we didn't get anywhere with them. And, you know, so it's you got to be creative and you got to use your relationships you have. And we're very proud of the work we've been able to do, the team we've got here, and we're going to continue to engage with other state agencies, those that may have other alien identification numbers.
Within the 3,251 you identified, did you see that there were any enclaves, like they were largely in one county or one region, or was it pretty evenly spread across the state? Do you recall?
Well, the larger counties obviously have larger numbers. Mobiles, the Madisons. I've got it here on my desk. See if I can get it pulled up real quick. But, you know, like your larger counties, Baldwin, Jefferson had a large number. Madison had a large number. Tuscaloosa had a pretty large number. So, but Mobile County, Montgomery County. But, we are going to continue to, like I said, we're going to continue to look into the data and see, you know, first of all, how did it happen? Second of all, you know, how long they've been registered to vote. Number three, you know, did they vote? And we've turned over the information. I had a conversation with AG Marshall before we released it, before we pushed it out to say, hey, this is coming. Just want to give you a heads up. And we talked, and he's been fantastic to work with, and he's doing such a great job. And we turned it over to him for further investigation.
Well, and I saw, by the way, him extolling your virtues, so to speak, on social media and congratulating your office and your work on things you've done. So let me ask you this real quick before we finish up here, last couple of minutes. I think last time you were on the show, I asked you, are other people calling and asking for your insights on, you know, like other secretaries of state, are they calling? But I'm also asking this time, are you collaborating with other Republican secretaries of state? And are there any Democrat secretaries of state who are calling and saying, hey, man, tell us how you did that, because we got to do it too?
Well, that second question, no, there aren't any Democratic secretaries of state calling this Republican.
I could hope, right?
You can always hope, man. But listen, I want to say that there are some very solid, rock solid conservative secretaries around the country. I mean, we've got a good group. Michael Watson in Mississippi, Trey, you know, in Tennessee does a great job. I mean, there's just so many. I could go down on and on and on. And we talk a lot and trade notes, and it's been good, and to be friends with them and those guys and some great folks.
Well, I was hoping that was the case, because I know that A.G. Marshall, you mentioned him a moment ago, that he is a part of the Republican Attorneys General Association, and they do collaboratively, you know, work on litigation and that kind of stuff. Sure. And so I'm glad to hear that secretaries of state are doing the same.
Yeah, we talk. We sure do. And good folks.
Well, listen, Mr. Secretary, I know that early voting starts just in a few weeks in some states. And so the voting season, if you will, is about to get underway. Any final thoughts before we head out?
Yeah, September 11th is when absentee voting starts, and the last day to register to vote is October the 21st. So there's still plenty of time. Go to alabamavotes.gov. Alabamavotes.gov is the official website of the Alabama Secretary of State office. That's the official website to register to vote. So, or you can go down to the Board of Registrar's office and do it by paper if you want to do it that way. But, you know, one other thing I will say is that we instituted, when I came into office, requiring the either your valid Alabama driver's license or the last four of your social, because those are verifiable and can be verified in, you know, the citizenship question. So we've done that as well. We put that into place. We're very proud of that step as well.
And guess what? The truth be told, it ain't that hard. And the states that cry and say it's hard and disenfranchises people's votes are just basically saying they don't want to do it.
Right. And you hear these cries and these talks about these proposals from Democratic states and these liberals that say we need same-day voter registration and automatic voter registration. That is a recipe for disaster. And we're, as long as I'm secretary or have anything to do with it, we're never going to have those things, those policies in Alabama.
Well, and guess what? The election results will be in on the night of the election, and everybody knows where Alabama stands because that's the way we do business.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right, Mr. Secretary, no, I appreciate you. Thanks for the work you're doing, and we'll stay in touch, all right?
Well, thank you, my friend. Stand firm.
All right, take care.
Yes,
that was Alabama's Secretary of State, Wes Allen, who is really, I mean, doing a great job. And I don't say that lightly. By the way, I don't brag on politicians unless it's worth doing. Having walked among those same hallways, I can just tell you that I'll call a spade a spade. But listen, right now, I am satisfied that in Alabama, we are leading the charge, literally leading the charge on what it means to have solid voter integrity. But not every state's doing that. So I say this, all you ruffians out there, if you know folks in other states, you might want to advise them on the things you're hearing here, because we're doing it right. And we still find 3,251 illegals that are on our voter rolls, and we have to purge them. The fact is, though, we found them, and we're purging them. All right, we're going to take a break right now. Big Rig, move us to the break, brother. We'll come back. I'll take a few text messages. Don't forget, coming up bottom of the hour, we'll be moving to Butters and Lee. So that'll be coming up at 3:30. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back.